year we hear an indisputable fact. Hawaii's inventory of affordable and public housing units continue to be outpaced by need. According to an often cited 2011 housing planning study, up to 50,000 new housing units will have to be built by 2016, and existing public housing has an almost $800 million backlog of repairs. Up for hearing today are a half dozen bills focused on affordable and public housing creation and repair. Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice Executive Director Victor Gemignani has reviewed them, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just seeing the volume of these bills that are continuing to move and the fact that they may have some redundancies, but clearly a focus on bringing up more units, being able to refurbish some of the ones that are there. Does this feel like it's a big win after all this time of talking about this?
Well, we'll declare a win when there's actually figures on the table that we can take a look at, and we know what impact is going to happen within the housing development market. But yes, definitely, we think that there has been a corner that has been turned, and that because of the pent-up demand, which is so extreme in our state, new models are being introduced that are gathering more and more popular support. Units like accessory dwelling units and micro units, and obviously the continuation and expansion of the Housing First program for the homeless.
Let's talk about some of that pent-up demand and also what that means in the context of today's market. There was a study that you cited that says that, you know, cost for rent of a two-bedroom unit requires a salary of over $32 an hour. You broke down hourly so you could be able to make a cost comparison, and that the median salary of a renter is about $13, maybe between $13 and $14, clearly not able to afford rent for a two-bedroom place.
That's correct.
Where does that leave them?
According to the world, it leaves them pinched and potentially on the street. The problem with the low and moderate income population is if they are a paycheck or two away from the streets because of the lack of availability of affordable housing, anything happens in their life that's a crisis, disabilities, a family, domestic violence issues, a split in the family, anything could happen to ultimately send people down into a spiral. We have, as we know in the state, the highest rate of homelessness among all states. We have about 14,000 people at any one particular time or during any particular year that are experiencing homelessness. 40% of those are kids. The market has dramatically increased in terms of the cost. HUD, a recent estimate of the fair market value for a two-bedroom apartment is about $1,800. As you said, that's increased, by the way, by 90% since 2005. In the last 10 years, we've had a 90% increase in the cost of two-bedroom apartments, and that, of course, filters down to smaller units, one-bedroom and studios.
And meanwhile, in the last 10 years, we've only built a little under 5,000 affordable units.
It's only because of the Rental Housing Trust Fund that we've been able to build about 4,500 units. Without that, there have been virtually no low-income rental housing built. There have been some affordable housing built for owners, owner occupancy purchases, but not for renters. Very little renting housing has been developed, and that's one of the reasons we have the crisis. According to the, you mentioning the state plan on housing, the 2011 state plan indicated we needed about 18,000 units for those that are living under 80% of AMI and below in terms of salaries, and that's in the neighborhood of $60,000 for one person.
And AMI, although that's in your lingo, for most people that would be
area median income.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, area median income. So the bottom line is we have the new study that's just been produced by HHFDC indicates that we are falling even farther behind. We need now 27,000 units by 2012, not 18,000 units. Most distressing for us, those that are living at 60% of AMI, again, area median income, which is about $45,000 for one individual. The need for housing has doubled. It's now closer to $20,000, 20,000 units as opposed to the 13,000 that was estimated in 2011. So we are falling farther and farther and farther behind in terms of the ability to house our residents.
As that gap has continued to widen, obviously more attention has been placed on the trust fund. You say there's not a figure placed into the bills yet. What would have to be put into that bill to be able to make some sort of gain on that huge disparity?
Well, we are very happy that the governor has recommended that the legislature appropriate $100 million. That would create about 600 units. could also create in the process about 700 jobs because of the construction that has to be done for those units. The legislature now is considering appropriations. They haven't decided exactly how much will be appropriated. We're again hoping for $100 million. That would make a significant increase in the amount of housing and start a trend that I think is going to ultimately be necessary to overcome the problems we have.
Where specifically would these units best be placed?
Well, for the most part, because of the rail that has been in the process of being built and debated, I might add, continually over the last 4, 5, 6 years, transit-oriented development has become the primary vehicle for creating affordable rental housing for our residents. So all along the rail line, at each of the stops, you will have developments being built, and there's a series of models that are being used and tested right now, hopefully tested, depending upon what happens with appropriations on some of these bills in the legislature, around the creation of micro units, smaller units. And we're trying to introduce into Hawaii the concept of smaller units for people to live in.
And when you say small, let's talk about how small.
Yeah. The bills, when they provide a definition, there are two bills that are pending in terms of appropriations, one in the House and one in the Senate for micro units. They define a micro unit as a unit between 280 square feet and 320 square feet for one or two people. For every additional person that's going to occupy the unit, it would be an additional 100 square feet. So a family of three would have somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 square feet, a family of four, about 500 square feet. Again, these are built on concepts that have been developed in the mainland in a number of cities in areas where there is a high demand for housing and a high cost of living and therefore a limited supply available. Interesting figure, by the way, in the state of Hawaii, about 25% of all renters, and another figure, 43% of our residents are renters. So we have a large number of renters in our state. And 30% of those renters on Oahu are single households. It's 25% statewide. We have a heavier concentration of single renters in Oahu. So the concept of micro units that are well-designed and efficient and effective, cost about half of what a regular unit would cost, really are some of the components of an answer to how we get out of this hole that we've dug for ourselves in terms of affordability.
And also the necessity for them to be around transit, because presumably with the parking density that would be necessary if all these people were to have cars, that wouldn't be practicable. And the reality is most of these people don't have cars anyway.
Exactly. One of the costs of the development of housing is the infrastructure that's necessary, and zoning requires parking for units that are built. And if you could waive the need for parking because it's around transit-oriented development and most of these people are not going to have cars anyway, it significantly increases the efficiency of micro units.
Before we let you go, just for a second, I know you're not going to call it a big win until you actually see this move through and it's after the session is finished. But at this point, are you feeling pretty good that this is the year where we're going to make some headway? We've been talking about this for such a long time. And as you say, that gap is getting wider and wider.
I said this about a year ago. I think we've turned the corner. When the community finally started to acknowledge the depth of our problem in housing our own people, and models started to be discussed as a changing way of how we're going to house our people. I was very optimistic. I'm even more optimistic now since we have three bills in the legislature that deal specifically with the types of models that we've been suggesting for a number of years. So I really do think because of the pent-up demand, because of the acknowledgement that the demand is really at a crisis stage, that the legislature and the governor and the city are now on the same page.
All right. We'll wait to see whether all that comes to be true or not, so you can call an official win. Hopefully by the time we finish in May, we'll see where we go with it. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you so
much.
Always a pleasure.
Victor Geminiani is the Executive Director of Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice. The center advocates on behalf of low-income people in Hawaii to help them gain access to resources, services, and fair treatment.